Welcome to the 73 Dream Studios Variety Show.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Gaming Gab. It's me, Ray, and today we are going to be covering Horizon Forbidden West. Let's get those quick facts out of the way. This game was developed once again by Guerrilla Games, published once again by Sony Interactive Entertainment. Our director is Mavish Dejongi, producer is Joel Eschler, programmer is Michael Vanderleeu, artists are Jean-Bart Van Beek and Mija Bas, our writer is Ben McCraw, our composers are Jordi Damon, Niels van der Leest, Oleksa Lozushuk, and The Flight. This was produced on the Decima engine. It is currently available on PlayStation 5 and PlayStation 4. I'm sure there will be a PC release someday, just like with Zero Dawn. The game was officially released on February 18th, 2022. All right, and then for the cast key, we have a... I normally don't cover a lot of the voice actors in video games, but this game is kind of rocking with a big cast and, like, a lot of star power. So yeah, we're gonna cover that. We got Ashley Birch playing Aloy, Beta, and Elizabeth Sobeck. We know that based on our time with the first game, we know who Aloy and we know who Elizabeth is, but we're gonna find out who Beta is going forward. John McMillan returns as Varl, Leslie Ewan returns as Gaia, Lance Reddick returns as Silence, John Hopkins returns as Aaron. Chris McKenna is Fashav, Sally Safiadi is Petra, Noshir Dalal is Catalo, Angela Bassett is Regala, Carrie Ann Moss is Tilda Vandermeer, Erica Luttrell is Zoe, and Allison Jane is Alva. Alright guys, so before I jump right into the plot points, I am going to give you guys the spoiler warning right now. I'm going to be covering... I'm gonna not dive into everything because there was quite a few side quests that I skipped this time. I know, right? For once, I didn't do a complete run through of the game. But there's just so much to discover in this game, and I really wanted to finish the plot so I could get you guys this episode in a timely manner. Of course, here I am, almost a full 6 months later. But that's how it goes, man. There's just so much in this game to enjoy, so I highly recommend it. If you're a PlayStation owner, definitely get this game right now. And if you want to hear Cicely and my thoughts on the game, the first game, Zero Dawn, you guys can go back in those archives and just search 73 Dream Studios Variety Show, Gaming Gab, Horizon Zero Dawn. I think you can just search Gaming Gab, Horizon Zero Dawn, and it would show up, but yeah. So make sure to check out our previous episode in the archives. Play the game before finishing this episode if you don't want to be completely spoiled. And we are going to be going forward with the plot points and key moment discussions right now. Alright guys, so the game picks up, and when I first played, I thought it was like immediately after the first game, but it's actually like 6 months later. It doesn't do a good job of telling you it was 6 months. Even just the way that the characters talk to one another, I'm like, yo, y'all are acting like this was yesterday. And then I find out 6 months later, and now I'm just like, damn, you all just held a grudge for a long ass time. Because apparently Aloy doesn't stick around to celebrate with anyone. She literally just goes to work. She's like, no, I gotta find Silence and figure out where the hell he went. And I also need to find a way to bring Gaia back. And apparently Varl followed her all this time, like, just trying to keep up with her. But typical Aloy, Aloy's been shunned for like, her entire life. So why would she start, like, trusting that people want to help her now, you know, after they helped her save the world the first time around? After dealing with a new enemy type, Sliverfang, there we go. It's a Sliverfang, a giant snake. God damn it. And after dealing with a Sliverfang, not even a mobile one either, it was stuck. Like, the game was being nice, and it was like, yeah, here's an enemy type you're really gonna hate later on. But you think you hate it now, just wait till it can move. Like, literally all it could do was lunge its head at you. Like, its lower half was completely trapped. And yet, somehow, it was still terrifying. So, after dealing with that, you do find messages from Silence. And basically, you need to go out west so that you can get a backup of Gaia. And after going west and meeting the different Tanakh tribes, you do eventually find Gaia. and you get to meet new enemies. These new enemies are known as Far Zenith. There's like four of them all together. I don't know all of their names. I did not note down all of their names. You barely see them throughout this game. Not even a joke. I know the names of the machines better than I know the names of the human enemies, because I was like, screw these human enemies. But they're immediately terrifying because you cannot hurt them. I'm so glad that they give you little tidbits of information as you're fighting them. Like Aloy will just make these realizations in character and just wait for you, the player, to catch on. Because I kept firing all my ammo at the one person they send after you the first time you meet them. And I'm like, why isn't this doing anything? Why isn't he hurt? God damn it. But basically, not only that, but there's a never clone with them, because it looked like, I immediately was like, that's gotta be a never clone, because it looks exactly like us. And for those that may not have listened to our first episode or played the first game, Aloy is a clone of Elizabeth Sobeck, a scientist from the old world. So it's like, okay, yikes, like, so now there's a never clone? What? So after you manage to evade that guy, you do have a backup of Gaia, and you're able to hook it up, and it has like very limited functions available to it. But so that kind of turns into Act 2 of the game, because all of Act 1 is literally just you trying to find the backup of Gaia and like manage to actually get into the West and get all of these tribes to like stop hating one another. And then when you get to Act 2, you then have to recover these other functions of Gaia, because the ultimate plan, after realizing who the Far Zeniths are, they are a segment of the old world civilization that left Earth and went to space to escape from the rise of the machines. And they somehow became immortal, because they're not even, we find out these aren't even like generations later. No, they're the same exact people that left Earth. They found immortality, apparently. As well as armor that makes it so that no one can hurt them. So we're just completely screwed. But the plan is, with Hephaestus still on the loose, and Hephaestus is the one making all of these new machines and these, like, artillery monsters. So our plan is to find the other functions of Gaia, and then using all of those, we can get the end of the world status under control. Because apparently there's, like, an extinction signal that was sent to Earth, and now, like, we're dealing with famine, we're dealing with thunderstorms, we're dealing with a lot of shit here. So we have to figure all of that out, and we have to get those functions under control, and then we can go after Hephaestus. And the hope is that once we have Hephaestus under control, we can then create machines that will help us in the war against the Zeniths. So Act 2 is literally just trying to get to Hephaestus and all of these other machines in our control. So we kind of split into three different missions to start. We go after Aether, and I forget what Aether's part in everything was. I think Aether was just the thunderstorms, I think. I want to say that's correct. Yeah, that is. Aether was the thunderstorms, and it was, like, hidden inside of a museum that was supposed to, like, tell all of his history. And there's literally a whole new tribe here that's like, just, oh yeah, we've based our religion off of this history that we found, even though the history is in broken pieces. Like, they'll literally talk about the Seven, and the Seven are literally just seven, like, Air Force pilots that were super brave and honored in this museum. So after you figure that out, I'm trying to remember, I think those were Tanakh. I'm pretty sure those were just a never subsect of a Tanakh tribe, but they were like the higher subsect. Like, their chief eventually becomes the High Chieftain, if he's not already. And there you get to meet up with Katalo. So Katalo joins your party after that. Then you go after Poseidon. And Poseidon is, as you would guess, that's the underwater thing. So, like, after you get Poseidon, you don't even fix anything in the greater world by saving Poseidon. I think you just, like, save the Las Vegas section. That's the other thing. Something that video games does a lot is they get really bold and they're like, yeah, let's travel around the world. Let's take our character and just span the country. So I somehow am going from, like, Colorado to Nevada in the span of minutes, apparently. Same with California. Eventually you get like all the way to California, and there's like even a section of land that you have to cross the ocean to get to. So I'm just like, am I supposed to believe that that's Hawaii, or is there like, was there like an earthquake, which it's California, so it's possible, but was there just an earthquake where the fault line eventually just smashed all of those pieces apart? So apparently, but either way, apparently, we went from Colorado to Nevada in minutes, and we eventually just got in there and got Poseidon. After having to, I will say that was like the most anxiety-inducing level for me, just because I don't do underwater levels very well. You're literally underwater for the majority of that level, and you can't fight underwater. But of course, there's a new machine that I think it's called Tide Ripper, but every time I saw it, I was like, it's Nessie. It's literally based off the Loch Ness fucking monster. So every time I saw it, I'm just like, Nessie. And it's just huge. And of course, you also have the gators, the snap maws, I think they were called. Yeah, you have the snap maws in there. So you have to stealth your way through this whole thing, which for some players, stealth is easy. Some players are like, oh yeah, I could stealth all day. Me, if I saw a machine, I was like, well, there's no point in me hiding. I might as well fight it. Oh, that was the other thing. When you go after Aether, there's like a mini thing where you stop and you have to go somewhere else. And then you fight these, I forget what they're called, sentinels. They may just be called sentinels. And you basically save Beta. Yeah, you save Beta from, like, because I guess they left Beta for dead for some reason. I think maybe they thought that they could just kidnap you at some point. So they were like, screw Beta, we don't need Beta. And Beta is just traumatized. Beta is traumatized as fuck. And I feel for her so badly. Aloy is like so pissed at her all the time though, because she's like, we could literally end this with your help. And Beta's like, nope, they're going to kill me. So I'm just going to hide for a while. I'm going to hide in this base that you are running. Yeah, they give you a home base, which I appreciated so much. I loved having that sense of, okay, Aloy's not necessarily a nomad anymore. She actually has a place to call home. So I was happy for that. But yeah, after getting Poseidon, you lower the water levels so that Las Vegas is now hospitable, because they made no effort to hide that this was Las Vegas. They were like, nope, that's a key plot point. This is Las Vegas. There's literally nothing else about Nevada that anyone outside of Nevada cares about except for Las Vegas, apparently. So yep, after you do that, you have to go after Demeter, and that's where you meet a whole tribe that apparently also had focuses, the device that Aloy has in her ear that makes it so that she can see all of these technological like messages and audio playbacks. And you go, while you're going after Demeter, you literally meet a guy called CO, even although a lot of people apparently just like to not in the game, like I've talked to other players and other players are like, can we just call him CEO, because that's literally what his name is. And I'm like, yeah, that's obviously what they read when he fought that. Because this dude literally just has a massive boner for, I can't remember his name. Pharaoh. There we go. Ted Pharaoh. He just has a hard-on for Ted Pharaoh, the guy who literally ended the world. So he named himself after Pharaoh. He, like, believes he's, from the same bloodline as Pharaoh, and I honestly believe he could be. He looked like he could have been a clone of Pharaoh. I thought that was the story arc they were gonna go. I was like, I swear to God, if I had to fight a fucking Ted Pharaoh clone. And then they scared me even more, because then it turns out Ted Pharaoh also found immortality somehow, except his was the mutated way, and he eventually became such a mutated mass of gore and horror that he somehow had it set up so that if he were to die, then the whole facility that had Demeter would explode. And literally right after Aloy gets Demeter, the CO is just like, he finds Ted Pharaoh thinking it's his legacy that he's finding. And then I'm so glad the game doesn't show you. The game does not show you Pharaoh at all. It literally shows CO going around the corner, coming back and being like, burn it. Tell no one what you fucking saw. And I'm like, wait, as much as I agree that we should kill it, there's kind of a problem with that, but they don't listen. So then you have a whole chase sequence where you have to outrun the explosions and everyone but you and your new friend Alva dies. Yeah, you make a lot of new friends in this. I like that, though. I like that you actually get to make a bunch of new friends in this. It speaks to how Aloy is growing as a character. Aloy is now able to be just go out in the world and actually meet people and not hate them and not expect them to distrust her. If anything, the word has spread that she has saved the world. Except, you know, like, I mean, when you go to the West, there's not a lot of contact between your tribes and the Western tribes. But the Western tribes grow to respect her a lot quicker than the Eastern tribes did. But as we go through all that, her and Alva escape. Alva joins your band of heroes. And yeah, so now after that, you talk about how you're going to get Hephaestus. And there's like a big blowout between Aloy and Beta, which was one of my favorite scenes, was just them arguing. Because I was like, they're acting just like sisters. Because Aloy is so annoyed with Beta about how Beta's like so upset and scared. And she's like, God, why can't you think of anyone other than yourself? And Beta's like, don't you think I think that too? You and I are based off the same person. Why are you so much different than me? Why are you better than me? What did you have that I didn't? And Aloy eventually opens up to Beta and she shows her former mentor, who is now dead, and I forget his name, unfortunately, but she shows him her former mentor, and she's like, I had him. That's the only thing. I had him to raise me. You didn't have someone like him. And eventually, like, they agree that Beta can step up, and Beta's going to help them try and trap Hephaestus. In the process of doing so, and this is, like, when we start getting into, this is the end of Act 2, yeah, trapping Hephaestus is the end of Act 2. In the process of trapping Hephaestus and fighting a new machine that is terrifying. It literally reminds me of the Thunderjaw. It's supposed to be the new Thunderjaw in the game. It's called the Slaughter Spine. It's literally a Spinosaurus-based machine. And I remember the first time I saw it, it wasn't even in the cutscene where you're supposed to see it for the first time. It was just randomly somewhere on the beach. And I walked up to it. I scanned it, and it's like, yeah, it's like a level 45 machine, and I was like level 27 or something, and I was like, yeah, I'm not doing that today. Bye. I want to live. So, but then by the time we got to this mission, I was a bit more prepared for it, and I knew, I took one look at the area that I was in, and I was like, something big's gonna happen here. So I just like left little traps right where I thought the machine was going to walk towards me, and it worked. I'm not saying I one-hit killed it. I just took out maybe like 20% of its health because it immediately stepped on all the freaking traps I left. After that, it was hard though. I had to keep dodging shit and whatnot. The combat in this is really good. I will say I did play it on easy. I'm not saying I played it on story mode. Story mode, yeah, they don't call it casual anymore. They just call it story mode because they're like, yeah, this is for people who don't want any combat challenge. They just want to enjoy the story. Now, I played on easy because I know I'm not that good at video games. I like to think I am, and then it's like, oh, wait a minute. Cicely played it on normal, and I was so concerned for her because there were boss battles that I was constantly dying in when I was playing on easy, and I was like, oh, God, she's gonna freaking hate this. And she did. Like, all the last three boss battles, she was like, why do they have to make them that hard? She's like, I'm on normal mode. I felt like I was on hard mode for that. And I'm like, you see, I felt like I was on normal mode when I was playing on easy. Like, so yeah, after you trap Hephaestus, Far Zenith does attack. And the only people that are there, because the rest of your team spreads out trying to confuse Far Zenith. Somehow Far Zenith knows which one you're at, though. They never explain why, or at least if they do, I didn't hear it. And it's only you, Beta, and Varl. So they kill Varl, which gutted me. And then they kidnap Beta. And prior to this, Beta had told Aloy, she's like, if I do this, I cannot be taken by them again. Do you understand what I'm saying? Therefore, you know, implying that she wanted Aloy to kill her if she was being kidnapped. And Aloy aims the bow. She aims the bow and arrow at Beta. But she doesn't pull the trigger, metaphorically. She doesn't release the arrow. And it's like, and I, it was so heartbreaking because Pierce's like, no, you promised. And like, then we get like knocked out, and then we're introduced into Act 3, where we find out one of Far Zenith's people, Tilda, apparently was a lover of Elizabeth back in the day. So she's like, yeah, I treated Beta as if she was my child. Yeah, well, not except not really, because I'm also heartless to a degree. And but she basically is like, yeah, Aloy, your efforts inspired me. I want to stop my comrades from completely destroying this Earth. And because and that confuses Aloy, because Aloy was like, wait, I thought they wanted to just wipe us out. And she's like, well, yeah, but they know that the quickest way to wipe you out is to literally just wipe out this Earth. We're pretty much immortal, we being Far Zenith in total. She's like, so just making the Earth inhabitable to you guys, it wouldn't affect us. And then we still have Gaia, so we could literally just start the Earth over again. And Aloy's like, okay, well, this is a lot worse than I thought. We have a lot less time than I thought. So after Aloy, she basically tries to, how do I put this? There's only like two or three missions left. We get like a quick moment to mourn Varl. We get to talk to Varl's girlfriend, Zoe, who we find out is pregnant, which I felt like shit after that. I was like, God damn. I was like, why? Why do you have to make this more sad? We unlock the ability to fly, which is an ability that's teased so early in the game. There was like a level 15 tall neck. And is it, but like the game's like, nope, you can't do this yet. It's literally locked. You cannot complete this because you haven't discovered an ability. And it's an ability that's locked behind story progression. So why the fuck is it a level 15 tall neck if you're not going to discover it until you do like a level 40 story mission? I don't get it. Anyway, so after you do that, you save the Tanakh from Tanakh rebels, which are led by Regala, I want to say her name was. Yeah, it was Regala. And then after you defeat Regala, you do get a choice, and it's one of a few times you actually get, like, a narrative control. You can either choose to kill Regala, or you can recruit her. And if you, like, I chose to recruit her, Cicely chose to kill her, and honestly, it was better to kill her. Basically, if you choose to recruit her, then she helps you by fighting off three sentinels by herself, and it's, like, just confirmed that she dies fighting them. But she's cool with it, because it was the honorable death that she wanted. And if you kill her, that encounter with the sentinels never even happens, so you don't have to fight anyone if Regala is killed. If anything, you actually get a weapon. You get Regala's weapon, her bow. And I'm just like, really? I would have preferred the bow. Like, narratively, I guess in my head canon, it makes more sense. Because I don't think, in my head, Aloy isn't vindictive and doesn't just kill needlessly. But there you go. So I guess if you, game mechanic-wise, it makes more sense to kill Regala. Narrative-wise, in my opinion, it makes more sense to spare her. After that, we commit to the final battle to save Beta and the world. And oh my god, this was the best. This was one of my, like, favorite moments in the game, because right when, like, for one, I'm pretty sure this, so this, I don't think Hephaestus creates the Sentinels. I think Zenith created the Sentinels, because we only ever fight Sentinels when Far Zenith people are nearby. Like, literally for this final level, you don't fight any other machine. You only fight Sentinels. And then, when you get to the big, epic war, you use, like, a massive EMP. By the way, at this point, you have Silence on your team. You managed to recruit him somehow, and Silence crafted an EMP that basically made it so all the Zenith people's shields are down, so now they're all susceptible to death, which is great. And then you reveal that Catalo and Alva, you put them in charge of implanting the Hephaestus virus or whatever, because you did, even though Far Zenith attacked, they let you keep Hephaestus for some stupid reason. And after that, you have your own army of machines, and it's beautiful. It's like exclusively Thunderjaws and Slaughter Spines. I would have thrown a few Stormbirds in there, but that's also because I fear the Stormbirds more than any other machine. And yeah, after that, you just go to town. You just run away. Like, you get to, you have two more boss battles. One is against a human, and the other is against Tilda. Because it's revealed, Tilda, while she told you a bit of the truth, she also lied a little bit. She was like, yeah, so they didn't actually send the extinction signal. We were running away. The Far Zenith people were running away from an entity called Nemesis. Nemesis did not want to be left alone. So it said, and it was like, well, if you won't stay with me, then I'll just make sure that you can't go home. And it now, so Nemesis is the one that wanted to wipe out all life on Earth. So now the new plan was for Far Zenith to just run away to a never world with Gaia. And Tilda's like, yeah, so I will not allow you to stop me. And she basically has a sentinel form around her. So it's like a human robot hybrid. And literally, I'm going to tell you right now, your best friend in this scenario is Acid. Basically, but like the two combinations I would always use was I would use Acid. And once I shot enough acid arrows for her whole machine to start corroding, I would use fire and explosives. Because fire and explosives are more, they cause more damage on something that's corroded. And then for like anything that was susceptible to ice damage, I would shoot frost arrows at something until it was frosted over, and then they become more brittle and more susceptible to damage from like high impact arrows. So that's what I would do. Those were like the two combinations that I used throughout the game, and I pretty much only needed those. Which was great, because in the first game, I was using those concussive arrows that don't cause damage, but knock pieces off of them, and then I would just take their shit. So I found a new strategy in this game, and I found two strategies in this game, and they worked wonders for me. Granted, I was also on easy mode, so I don't know if that's going to work as well for anyone playing on normal, or God help you, hard, or legendary, but yeah, so that's an option. After defeating Tilda and killing her, you do eventually tell everyone. You don't tell everyone in the cutscene before the end credits, but it's implied that you do tell everyone eventually and that you and Beta restore Gaia. And Silence originally says that he's going to leave on the like alien spaceship and just be like, peace out, I don't want to die. But he elects to stay behind and be like, eh, I guess I won't let you have all the fun. So yeah, that was the main plot of the game. Let's see, key moments, combat with the key mechanics, I should probably say, but combat was awesome. I love the combat, honestly. I love how you can do so many different ways. You could be stealthy, you could fight from long range, you could fight close combat. I mostly stuck to far range. I stuck to my arrows and my spears. There was like one section and I loved it. I had to fight Clamor Jaws, which were new machines that are based off of monkeys. And I got one of them, but the other one just kept throwing bombs at me. And I was on a tinier structure than it was. So I had to just be like, screw it, I'm going to go after it. So I went to try and fight a close combat, wasn't doing much damage. And in a desperate move, while it was still jumping all around at me, I like set up an explosive trap. Which it literally looks like a miniature hot air balloon. And after I put it on the ground, the monkey like jumped up and he went to do a move where it just smashes itself on me. And of course, I was still right on top of the explosive. So I like tried to roll away, and in the midst of rolling away, it lands on the explosive. I turn around and it's gone. Like I killed it somehow with that trap. So I just loved that. I was like, oh my god, this is so rewarding that I can just take things down in so many different ways. I'm not saying that I didn't have to cheat a little bit here and there. Like, there's one combat encounter with Nessie where I was about dead. So I had to literally, like, just hide behind a piece of the environment that I realized Nessie couldn't destroy or work itself around. Like, it was, like, the edge of a combat encounter. So I was on the border of it, and Nessie was not designed to be able to go that far. So I would just hide whenever it shot at me, and I would just take pot shots, and it took like 15 minutes just to kill it, but I did it. Oh god, what was another one? Oh man, I had one as I was doing the Nessie story. Oh, the Stormbird. The Stormbird fucking killed me, dude. I had to fight a Stormbird like randomly, and I kid you not, I left the combat encounter. I went to a shop, and I maxed out my entire inventory. I went back to fight the Stormbird, and in the course of fighting it, I literally ran out of everything, and I still hadn't killed it. So, like, I like found some wood, I crafted a couple more arrows, and I was on my last arrow, and I shot it at the same time that it fired a blast at me. I killed it with 4 health points left, and I literally, like, almost cried. I was like, oh my god, I can't believe I did it. Like, the Stormbirds caused me so much anxiety in the first game. In this game, it was equally terrifying. I hated it, especially because when I fought it, it had a freaking kamikaze attack, where if you look up, it's perfectly above you, so you can't crank your neck all the way back enough to see it until it's too late, and you just realize it's dive-bombing you. So, yeah, that's terrifying. The new takes on vaults. Yeah, there's still vaults in this game. I'm not necessarily a fan that they made it harder to override the machines, which I guess understandably so. Like, I loved that if I just went to all the vaults, they're not called vaults, I just realized that, they're cauldrons. If you went to all the cauldrons right away, then you could, and you were like able to actually defeat the bosses, you could just override every single machine in the game just like that. That is not the case in this game. You have to go to the cauldron to get the key, like the key code to override them, but you still don't have the parts needed to create the said override. You just have like the data that you need. So then you have to go out and fight those machines, and then you can create overrides for them. So yeah, it's a bit difficult. It also makes it so that you can't necessarily, basically makes it so that at least the first time you're playing the game, you can't craft an override for a Slaughter Spine when you haven't even met one yet. So yeah, that's pretty important, I would feel. I definitely liked that not all the cauldrons were the exact same as well. I feel like in the first game, they all followed a similar pattern. In this game, every cauldron felt different. There was one cauldron that I realized was a cauldron for creating tall necks, and I loved it. I absolutely loved it, especially because it was 2-in-1, because once I cleared that cauldron, I also got to override the tall neck for that area. So I thought that was cool. They give you the ability to glide and fly in this game. So the glider, the paraglider that they give you, like, it totally reeks of Legend of Zelda, which I'm not mad about, because fucking Breath of the Wild beat out Zero Dawn for Game of the Year, and I'm still bitter about that. So yeah, if you beat us out for Game of the Year, well, guess what? Your fucking sequel got delayed, and ours just fucking ripped off one of your gimmicks that everyone loves so much. So take that, Nintendo. Take that, Nintendo. And then we improved upon it by, like, making it so that once you get the ability to override the Sun Striders, you can actually gain the ability to fly on them. Oh my god, it's so beautiful to just glide on to fly on those Sun Striders. I loved it. I literally spent like a good 5-10 minutes just crossing the map from one end to the other and just looking at everything. I loved it so much. Also, I will say, I accidentally got a trophy with the paraglider, because there's like a trophy for gliding a certain distance. During your travel from one mission, it's a mission that's supposed to introduce you to a whole new like part of the map, and I'm pretty sure I pissed off some developers because I completely skipped all the travel that I was supposed to do, because I was like, I'm not a person that sees the road that like goes around the mountain and thinks, yeah, that's clearly where I'm supposed to go. If my mission is like through that mountain, I'm just gonna go over that fucking mountain. Like, that, to me, that's the fastest route. Screw going around and potentially running into enemies. And as soon as I got to the highest point on that mountain, I just jumped and glided, and it was such a long way down. Like, I missed a whole bunch of the map doing this. And, like, I literally could see a whole town beneath me, but I did not stop gliding to talk to anyone. I just kept going. Like, I literally passed the entire snow section of this map. I think it was supposed to be the Rocky Mountains, and I just climbed the Rocky Mountains and then just jumped down. And apparently I almost glided all the way to fucking Nevada from there. And the game was like, well, here's the trophy. You skipped, like, a good quarter of the game just by doing this. The amount of times that I find ways to break the progression system in these games... All right, the new robots. Oh my gosh, Nessie was probably my favorite new robot. Probably. I don't know if that's a question that I had later. Maybe, but I won't commit to it until I get to the question. Whatever new robots were there. I covered the Slaughter Spine, I covered Nessie. They had Dread Wings, which were basically just giant bats that could turn invisible. I covered the Sliver Fangs. They had lesser machines that were new. For some reason, they didn't bring back the Watcher. They brought something new called the Burrower, which was literally just a Watcher with the ability to dig underground. So that seemed kind of lazy to me, but it added something new. It added a new mechanic. I just don't know why you couldn't have kept Watchers in here. Like, you could keep Scrappers. I love that they got rid of the Strider. I will say that. I love that they got rid of a Strider because no one fucking rode on a Strider. Everyone rode on a Strider until they realized they could ride on a fucking Longhorn that looks like a giant ram. So yeah, like, I'm glad that the ram is just the default mount now. That was the best thing that could have freaking happened. The new tribes. We have... Let's see, I talk about the T'Nokfa a little bit. They're a combat-based tribe, mostly. There was the... I forget what the name of the tribe was that had the focuses, but they were very technology-based. They might have been the Utaru, and then... Or was the Utaru the music ones? God, that's gonna get me. Let's see here. I'm fact-checking myself right now. New tribes. Forbidden West. Man, I was really hoping Google would just... autofill that, but nope, turns out when you search new tribes, oh my gosh, let's see, Utaru, here we go, who are the tribes of Horizon Forbidden West, da-da-da-dum, yep, Utaru here, yeah, the Utaru are the music-based ones, they're the ones Zoe is from, they believe in like all of the tribes people carry seed pouches, so when they die you're supposed to bury that person's seeds in the ground, so it's like their death continues the cycle and brings along new life. And they also believe in music, and there's like a whole like machine dedicated to them. They call them land gods. I think they're called plowhorns. They're basically triceratops, and like you never even fight one. No, that's not true. You fight at least one. Like, you fight at least one, I'm pretty sure. But for the most part, the plowhorns are like the tall necks. They're a very peaceful. They're very peaceful. I talked about the T'Nokf. The Quen. The Quen were the ones that had the focuses. So they were the technology-based ones. So those are the three, like, new ones that you deal with. Yeah, all right. And on now, for my favorite segment, let's rate it. All right, so on average... for Horizon Forbidden West scored a 9 out of 10. And that was an aggregated score between 14 different review forums, including IGN, Game Informer, and more. All right, looks like we got 6 questions to cover, but first we're going to get a word from our sponsor in. So stay tuned for me to answer your questions. All right, guys, and here we are back for some questions. Question number 1, what was your favorite moment in the game? Oh gosh, my favorite moment? Oh, you know what? I think I know my answer. My favorite moment was the moment Aloy accepts that Beta is her sister, because I said throughout the majority of the game, I was like, so they're like sisters, right? And the more they interact, I'm like, they are just like sisters. And it's a moment when Tilda is trying to like get answers out of Aloy, because Aloy had just whispered something to Beta and Tilda couldn't hear it. And Tilda's like, well, what's the plan? And Aloy's like, you'll know when you need to know. Which I love. I love that Aloy just, like, keeps her card so close to her chest. She's like, you know what? This is when all my years of not trusting everyone kind of pulls off. And she kind of keeps, she's like, yeah, you'll know when you need to know. And Tilda's like, well, what did you tell her? And then Aloy just glares at her and she's like, that is between me and my sister. And I was like, oh, yes! Yes, thank you so much. Validation. The fact that they finally were able to, like, reconcile their differences and just accept it, I was like, that's great. That seems, like, organic. And it wasn't even, like, emphasized. Like, it wasn't like, that's between me and my sister. Like, it wasn't, like, super out there. It was just, like, a one-note line but, like, it was something I clung to. I was like, I love that. I love that that's a thing. The question 2, do you think Zoe and Varls' baby will be a boy or a girl? Oh, God. Do we even know if we're going to see that baby at all? Like, how, there was a 6-month time jump this time. So how big of a time jump are we thinking for the third game? Like, we don't even know how close Nemesis is to these guys. Like, I feel like narratively we're probably going to pick up, like, 8 months later. It's gonna be like 8 months in 2 weeks later. So, well, actually, we don't know how long Zoe's been pregnant, so they could get away with just 8 months, I guess. But yeah, so we're just cut to like 8 months later, and Zoe's gonna, like, we're gonna first look at Zoe and she's gonna be ready to pop. Like, that baby's coming. And then it's they're going to be like, act one, the final mission, protect Zoe at all costs. Like, that, I swear to God, that's going to be what it is. Like, that's got to be it, dude. I fully, like, and as far, but to answer your question, boy or girl, I'll say boy, because I feel like they're going to name it after Varl. Like, if it's a girl, they'll probably name it after Aloy, but if it's, I think it's going to be a boy, so that way they can name it after Varl. Or even better, Aaron's gonna die protecting Zoe, and then the baby's gonna be named after Aaron, and, like, if anyone says anything, Zoe would be like, Varl would have wanted it that way. Aaron was one of his best friends. So yeah, I think that's what it's gonna be. It's gonna be a boy, and it's gonna be named after Aaron, of all people. Who do I ship Aloy with? Alright, so if you asked me this for Zero Dawn, I probably would have said her and Varl. Even though, like, so in the first game, they kind of made it seem like Aloy could have been, maybe she was bisexual, like, because she seemed to be both into men and women. I actually think that Aloy is asexual. I start to think that. If she's not asexual, at least aromantic, because she does not have, it doesn't even seem like she entertains the idea of romantic feelings towards anyone in this game. Like, one of my favorites was when I shut down the fucking prince. I shut down Prince Avad at the beginning of the game. It's one of those times where they give you a narrative option, and I chose the clever word usage. Because, like, one option is you're just like, I'm not into you. The other option is, yeah, maybe we could be a thing. But, like, I chose the option where Aloy was like, you know, the world's kind of in danger. Like, we're facing extinction-level events here. I don't really got time for this. Like, I feel like that's genuine to Aloy's character. Aloy is more worried about, like, saving the world and being herself and just looking out for those that can't look out for themselves. I feel like Aloy genuinely just does not prioritize romantic relationships at all. So yeah, I think I, like, for who I ship her with, herself. Like, romantically, no one. Sexually, no one. She definitely builds a lot of platonic friendships, and I love that. I love the platonic relationships that she builds, because they still hit hard. That's the thing. When Varl died, it had already been established that Varl and Aloy weren't going to be an item. Varl was very much in love with Zoe, but when Varl died, it still hurt, because you don't need to have your main character fall in love with someone for that loss to be impactful. Like, the friendships can be just as impactful as the relationships. And you could still love someone just as a friend. Trust me, I do that a lot, personally. But yeah, so I feel like I do not ship her with anyone. In my headcanon, Aloy is asexual. Unless there's, like, a brand new character in the third game that really changes that. Like, that really works well with Aloy. And, like, even then, again, maybe not if she's not asexual, she's at least aromantic, because I, like, romance seems to be the furthest thing from her mind in both this game and looking back at Zero Dawn. Yeah, like, in Zero Dawn, there was, like, at least points where she was like, okay, I could see there were, like, points where there would be physical attraction that could be shown, but, like, there didn't seem to be, like, necessarily romance going on. So yeah, I think aromantic would be the better way to say it. But yeah. So no, I don't ship Aloy with anyone. Next question. What do you think is in the future of the series? Oh my god, dude. Why you gotta do this to me? My big question is, how the fuck are we gonna introduce new machines? Like, what are the enemies in this next game? Because we literally took out every single enemy that was on this planet. Unless you're going to tell me that there's, like, we're going to get invaded by machines from other countries. Because we've already spanned all of America at this point, except for, like, Alaska and Hawaii. But yeah, so I have no idea what's... We know Nemesis is coming. I've already hypothesized that Zoe's going to have a baby. I've hypothesized that Aaron's probably going to die, because someone's got to die. Like, a main character has to die. Do I think Aloy will die? No. I'll say that right now. I'm like, if there was a bigger time jump coming, then I could hypothesize that maybe Aloy dies and Beta has to take over. But there's an 8-month time jump. Again, just a theory. That's not confirmed. But going with my current theories, an 8-month time jump is not enough time to fucking train Beta to become the new main character of this game. So no, I don't think Aloy's going to die. And yeah, I don't know, man. I think Aaron will die. Zoe will have the baby. Nemesis is obviously going to be the new big bad. Game mechanic wise, I don't know what we're gonna get for new enemy types. I don't even know what if we're gonna get new machines. Like, I wonder if they'll make a whole mini game where you have to like create machines. Like, all right, now you have to come up with machines. Hephaestus isn't all sentient now. Now he needs commands or something like that. Like, I just don't know. Like, and Silence is apparently on our side now, but is he really? Like, it's huge question marks, man. So yeah, this is a good question. I just don't really know how to answer it. Like, I don't even know, like, the future of the series in general. I don't even know if we're going to have DLC. I don't even, like, we had a good narrative jumping point for DLC in the first game. What the fuck are we going to get for this game, if anything? They may not even be doing DLC. Guerrilla Games may just be working on the third game now so that they can have it in 2 years. Don't do that. Don't give us the game in 2 years. I already know, like, Zero Dawn was what, 2017? It took 5 years for them to get this game out. Take another 5 years. I can wait till 2027. That actually is a good segue to the next question. Will we see the third game in the PS5's lifespan? I will say yes. I'll say yes to that. Let me like pull up the PlayStation releases. So the first game was the PlayStation 4's timeline. PS4. When was the PS4 released? 2013. Okay. And the PS5 was 2020, right? Yeah. It was 2020, I believe, but, like, no one got it except for a bunch of fucking scalpers. Go fuck yourself, by the way. Anyway, yeah, 2020. So it was 7 years to go from 4 to 5. Okay. So that's a good baseline. I mean, we're in, like, technology's always changing, but I feel like we'll definitely have, like, a middle point by the time the next game comes out. Like, if they take another 5 years and this game came out 2 years after the PS5, oh shit, that's actually... If we are assuming that it's going to take another 5 years for a Horizon game to come out, and we're assuming that it's going to take 7 years for a PS6 to come out, then that might line up with whatever the third Horizon game is being a launch title for the PlayStation 6. That's so far in the fucking future that I am projecting. Oh my god, dude. I don't know. I don't know if I could even say that. Even if it is a launch title for the 6, the 5 would still be around. So it would still be a 5 title. The question is if it's going to be released within the lifespan of the 5. Yes. So guarantee you it will be released within the lifespan of the 5. Like, games will still be being made for the 5. Games are still being made for the PS4, and we're 2 years post the PS5 launch. So yeah, I can definitely say it'll be released within the PS5's lifespan. Will it be released before the PS6? That I do not know. If anything, if they get close, if they finish the game like 6 months before the PS6 is set to release, Sony's the publisher, so Sony could literally just be like, yeah, well, I'm glad you got it done, but we're not releasing it till the 6 comes out. Like, that's Sony has that power. Sony can literally just be like, we're the publisher, so we're not gonna let you release this game until when we say so. Yeah, that's what Sony can do. They can just be like, yeah, well, you got to the... They may have so much faith in Guerrilla Games, they might just be like, we are giving you until the PS6 comes out. Like, you, like... And the PS6 is going to get delayed a shit ton. So, like, they're just going to be like, oh, yeah, 2028? Yep. You got, like, a whole fucking 6 to 10 years to make this game. And they're just like, well, we could probably make it in 5. And they're like, well, it's not going to get released until in at least 6. So, they have that power. All right. Who is my favorite character introduced in the game? Okay. I like that. Because that means I can't pick an obvious one like Aloy or Varl or Aaron. It has to be someone introduced in this game. I will say Catalo. Zoe was pretty cool. I did like Zoe. I was a little bitter because, like, if I was going to ship Aloy with anyone, it would have been Varl. And so I was a little bitter about that. Did not like Tilda. And I did not like Alva immediately. Alva had to grow on me. When I first met Alva, I was so fucking annoyed by her. I was like, you are such an annoying piece of shit. But
It's probably that's probably projection because I'm probably more like Alva than I would like to admit. So yeah, I'll say Catalo because Catalo's just a badass. When we meet Catalo, he's already missing a fucking arm and he never makes excuses. He's like, no, I'm awesome without my arm. I can still fucking kill a man with my bare hand. And then at one point, when you do a side quest for Catalo, because all the characters have, like, special side quests, except for Silence and Tilda, because they're brand new. But, like, Catalo, Alva, and Zoe, they all have side quests that are specific to them. And Catalo's is that you help him find the pieces to, like, make a prosthetic arm. And then you help him fight a machine so that he can use the prosthetic arm against it. And when you're done, he puts the arm away. He actually takes it off. And you're like, what happened? Wasn't it what you wanted? And he's like, it's good. And which means I know that I'll be able to use it if I need it. But I don't always need it. And I'm like, oh my god, this guy's a badass. Like, he gets a whole new arm. Gets, like, it's like a badass metal robotic arm. And he's like, yeah, I'll only use it when I need it. And I don't need it that often. So it's like, Jesus, dude. Catalo earned my respect hardcore throughout this game. So yeah, Catalo was my favorite character that was introduced in this game. And I think that was it for questions. All right. Thank you guys for sending those in. I do appreciate it. If you guys want to keep sending questions in, you can hit me up at ClarkDion on Twitter. You can send some messages to the 73 Dream Studios Variety Show Facebook page. And of course, you can go to anchor.fm, our sponsor, create your account, which is really easy, mind you. And you can find us and just send us an audio message. We have plenty of topics coming up. Let's see, Forbidden West. JP says he wants to do an episode on the Halo TV series, which blows my mind because I don't think he ever actually finished the Halo TV series. Maybe he will if I tell him we're going to do an episode on it. So if you guys want to send us questions on Halo, we do want to do a Mystery Motel on Wolf Among Us at some point. I have it penciled in for like late this quarter, so probably late Q3, so maybe like September or something. Oh, another big movie that's coming out soon. But Prey, which I forget if it's a prequel to Predator or if it's supposed to be another sequel, but either way, if you guys have any questions about Prey after it comes out, send them to us, because I'm looking forward to doing that. We're also looking at, I'm also allowed people to convince me to watch Hocus Pocus. I haven't watched it at the time of this recording, but I'm going to watch it so that I can do a horror hotel on it. Because you need some kid-friendly horror in the hotel now and then. You have to make it all-inclusive, you know. We don't just kill just anyone. We kill everyone. Anyway, but yeah, so if you guys have any questions about, say, Halo, Hocus Pocus, Prey, or Wolf Among Us, or even if you have any questions about current events in wrestling, because I do want to sneak a couple of Grappling with Rays in there, feel free to send them to me, Clark Dion on Twitter, 73 Dream Studios Variety Show on Facebook, or send them via audio message straight to our profile on anchor.fm, and you might even hear your voice on this podcast. Not unlike whoever that was that sent me that creepy-ass message in Scream 2. Yeah, I'm a little concerned about that. I think they might know where I live. I think a majority of the listeners know where I live. So that's not really, that doesn't really narrow it down. Anyway, much love to everyone out there. Be sure to follow me, RDog20, Twitch TV, and just enjoy the rest of your day.